Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast with me, Andy Goldstein. And what a podcast we've got in store for you. It really is better than all the others. If you've still got them on file, just control, alt, delete. All of them, all useless compared to this one. I mean, they're good, but whoa, look. This one's unbelievable, and I'll prove it by starting with Harry Redknapp talking Spurs on the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show with Alan Brazil of Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show and Ollie of... Well, it doesn't say.
It's time to win something this year. You can't keep going on, 6 years, 7 years, whatever, without winning something. He needs to win a trophy sooner or later, and they've got to come up with some silverware this year. They've already knocked out of one competition. I can't see him winning the Premier League. I can't see him winning the Champions League. Probably the FA Cup or maybe the UEFA Cup if they go out the Champions League might be the only options for him. But I think it's time they won something. I don't see him walking away. He's at a club where everything is in place. In off the field, amazing stadium, incredible training facilities. And I think he's got an excellent group of players there. I mean, at the moment, they're just having a bit of a blip. It's up to him now to show how good he is and to get them back on track and start getting them playing again, as we all know they can, and picking up the results. That's his job. If he's a great manager, he's going to have to do that now.
H, have you ever experienced anything where you've got like five or six players who are letting their contract run out and you more or less don't know whether you're picking them or whether you do pick them? And because you can't be that united then, can you?
No, it's a difficult one, isn't it? When you've got players running out of contract and you just wonder, they're obviously looking to go. They're looking for one big payday at the end of the year. When you become a free, you obviously, if Ericsson goes on a free, if his value's whatever, 50 million, someone gives him 25 million, they've still got a cheap player. He's sitting there and he holds all the aces now.
Yeah, him and his agent will get that money, not the club.
Yeah, they'll say, he'll say, look, we're a free agent. You would pay 50 million for us. You can have me, give us 25 million plus me wages, whatever he's looking for.
H, that's got to be an impossible new situation for these managers to handle these days. Did you ever have anything like that?
It's getting tough. I mean, no, not really. I mean, but we had Luka Modric, but Luka had a contract, and Luka just, he was incredible. I mean, Chelsea were coming in and wanting to sign him, and I think Daniel said to him, give us one more year at the end of the year. If a big club comes, another club comes in and we get the money, I won't stop you going. He did that and he played incredible for the season, So, I don't know, at the moment it seems to be too many of them. It's not one, it's a little group of them there who are running contracts out, so it's going to be difficult this year.
And of course, it was a big night in one of the biggest competitions in world football, the World European Europa Club versus Country Boat Race World Cup Europa League. Nonsense. Paul Parker was on TalkSport 2, talking us through the action and giving us his view on United. And then, of course, you lot phoned into the Andy Goldstein Sports Bar, which, of course, is presented, but, you worked it out.
And the full-time whistle goes here in The Hague, and Manchester United remain unbeaten in the Europa League and will go joint top of the group with this point that they've earned with a 0-0 draw against Alkmaar. But they were living on their nerves for long portions of this game, David De Gea, the busier goalkeeper.
They haven't played together, all those players, at the same time. Have to say as well, young Brandon Williams done absolutely fantastic. The way he defended well, was always wanted the ball, was willing to go forward as well. Even at the end of the game, well, maybe, given that the socks was around his ankles, I think he was feeling it, maybe he should have stood in, but he still wanted to go forward. So they've done really well. Dello done well at right back. He hasn't played a lot of football either. So you're talking about a lot of players out there who hadn't been playing regular football, throwing in together, as you said. They've done well.
This is going to be really harsh for me to say this.
Why are you smiling when you say
that? No, I'm not saying
I'm you're
not smiling.
Look at me.
The camera's on. Smiling now.
You're horrible, man.
I'm smiling now. I think Manchester United are staring into an abyss. I think Manchester United are staring into an abyss.
Nothing's going to change till the next window.
Mate.
What are you hoping for?
No. But there's an abyss.
Yeah, the current squad.
This is possibly the worst Manchester United squad in Premier League history. Plus, I'm trying to add maybe another 10 years on top of that. So we're talking 35 years.
Hello, Tom.
How you doing? You all right?
Well, good, Tom. Off you go.
I'm disappointed. We need to get rid of Solskjaer. I'm fed up. I'm completely fed up. All this sentiment about keep him, it's not him, it's the players. It's 100% him. It's 100% him. Look at what he did at Cardiff. That was his only stint as a manager for a British club. Look what he did. He took them down. And we've got him as the Man United manager.
You're telling me the squad United have got, they should be what? Where? Top six? Top four? Top two?
Well, what did Mourinho do? Second? Europa League? League Cup?
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
The same team.
Give or take.
The same team.
Well, it's not, because we haven't got Lukaku. We haven't got Sanchez.
But we sold them. But it's the same team. It's the same players. It's the same players that are playing now that were playing 2 years ago. We still had Rashford. We had Lingard playing properly. What's happened to Lingard? He don't want to play for us anymore. We need to get rid of him.
Tom,
we keep saying it's not Solskjaer. Oh, it's not him. It's the players. We need Roy Keane in there. We need Roy Keane in there. Pin him against the wall, and we need somebody with character that's got the balls to be on TV and say you're not good enough. You either play for me or you leave.
Tom, welcome to the real world of being a football fan, okay? So Man United fans have lorded over the rest of the footballing universe for the last 25 years, and deservedly so. And welcome to a little bit of reality about what it feels like to be a football fan of someone who's inferior. And now you're doing, you arrogant Man United fans, you used to batter Chelsea, used to batter everyone else that sacked their manager. You're coming on national radio. He's been there. It's not his fault. Look at the real problem at Manchester United. No, it's
what
not, Tom.
Tom,
you are being totally...
Tell me his achievements.
Tom, you are
tell
being...
Tell me his achievements as a manager.
Tom, you are being totally mis... As a football club, you are being run by clowns. You've got Woody at the wheel. Woody and Ollie.
But it's not his fault. What he's achieved as a manager.
It's not his fault.
The players played because when Mourinho went... They wanted to prove a point. They played. They played for 9-10 games. It's the same players, minus Lukaku. We got rid of him. That was our decision. But it's the same players. They got in the job. Now they've got in the job. They don't want to play for him.
Now, of course, the England squad was announced yesterday. Although I am recording this today, the England squad was in there. But that would mean nothing to you because you're hearing it. And you'll be going, well, it wasn't today, it was yesterday. So this is for your benefit. And Phil Foden was nowhere to be seen. Not just in the squad, but of course in Manchester City's starting lineup. Phil, you've got to leave to further your career. Well, that's your view, not everyone's. Anyway, they spoke about it on Drive.
Clearly difficult to assess exactly where Phil sits compared to others, given the opportunities at his club, which I totally understand because of the quality of players he's up against. He's still progressing well. He's learning from one of the best coaches in the world, and his time will come.
Everybody's been banging on about Phil Foden's got to go out on loan. Well, Trent Alexander-Arnold didn't go out on loan. You know, there is a different pathway. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. There's no right or wrong. And actually, in the press conference after that interview, Gareth Southgate was asked about Callum Hudson-Odoi not being in the team, in the squad, Phil Foden not being in the squad, said with Hudson-Odoi, Well, he said with both of them, they're very close. He said with Hudson-Odoi, he's just come back from a long injury. Will be in the under-21s, we believe. With Foden, he said it's difficult to assess, given the opportunities at his club. Player for the future, learning from one of the best coaches in the world. All very positive things. He says every player has a different journey. Talked about Trent Alexander-Arnold, talks about Tammy Abraham as well. Different journeys to get to Premier League game time. He says there's no perfect path. Different for them all. And he's still developing physically, Phil Foden, and he's working with great players every day. Can't put young players in just to put them in, is what Gareth Southgate said.
Staying with the England theme, the England manager, well, very, very pleased. No, not you, Roy, you've had your chance. So Gareth Southgate was talking with our very own Nigel Adley.
Very, very pleased.
Roy, stop it!
Onto the other side of the job then. How hard is it to speak to established internationals and say not this time?
Very hard. I don't relish that part of the job at all, but I recognise it's really important that players who've been really good players with us and we believe can be really good players with us in the future, it's important to explain the rationale for your decision and your thinking. And in several of those cases at the moment, the likes of Dele and Alex Oxlade in particular, they aren't regularly, their season hasn't quite got going yet with their club, so their opportunity to put a case forward ahead of some of the guys we've picked is more difficult. And we know that somebody like Jesse has played really well for us over a long period of time, so you'd like to support all of them and keep them in until some of that form comes back or they get their matches, but we would also then be leaving out players who also deserve to be in the squad and are playing well now, and we can only put 23 in on a match day, and we've named 25. We can't just keep everybody happy, unfortunately.
And I saw you at Goodison last week for the Everton-Manchester City game. Of course, Kyle Walker played in that. Is he somebody who remains part of your plans? Obviously, he's been a fantastic player for you, but now he's missing out two camps in a row. Eyebrows will be raised.
Well, we wanted to have a look at some of the other guys last time, and we thought that both Trippier and Trent did really well in both our matches, but also continuing to play well for their clubs. It is a position where we're blessed, really, to have four and maybe more with a couple of young ones coming through who are very exciting. The two we've picked are slightly more offensive than a couple of the others, and we didn't feel it was right to change that this time.
We've got two away games now, back-to-back, which is a relative rarity these days. Are they good camps to look at young players because you're seeing them in different environments, very close quarters?
Yeah, and the challenge of the games is different. You know, the environment of playing at Wembley is a huge advantage for us. Southampton was a brilliant experience for everybody, the atmosphere there. But we've got to go into going away is always a little bit more hostile and more pressured, and it would be good to see how people respond in that environment.
I'm Alan Brazil, and this is TalkSport Daily.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help.
With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
On now to H&J, where there was no H because Paul Hawksby was off. So Max... Oh, not him, really? Okay. Andy Jacobs was with some chancer. And then we're talking about Who spells it like that? Okay. Owen Morgan was talking about Joe Root and how much of a great captain he is. But it says E-O-I-N.
Joe is our leader. He's one of our best batsmen. Well, he's our best batsman. And it's been an extremely tough summer that, again, as a fan, I loved watching the Ashes. It was so competitive. There was nothing between the teams. And it was a huge spectacle for cricket. And on the back of the hype of the World Cup, I think everybody followed it. And when you have heroic battles between Archer and Smith, and I suppose Smith than anybody really, because we couldn't get him out. But the fantastic nature in which it was played, and then the Headingley 100, where Ben Stokes just became a legend that will be remembered forever. I think sits in people's memories for a long time.
Can you give an idea of, you know, in your experience of being a player and being a captain and a player, regardless of white ball, red ball, just how different it is and how much more difficult it is to be captaining as well?
Yeah, I think it's chalk and cheese, to be honest. See, there's different challenges constantly throughout the 5 days of a test match, and it throws up probably every aspect that you need to be strong in to be a captain. So your leadership between the players, your motivational talks, tactically, and then on top of that, you've got to perform. I think in white ball cricket, everything's shorter, sharper. There's a result on the day. Tactically, obviously, you can be exposed a bit more. You have to be probably a clearer thinker. So I think two are completely different.
On to the mid-morning show with Natalie Sawyer, Glenn Johnson, and Jeff Brazier made an appearance, meaning, of course, there was probably a £100 giveaway where you could win a free mini as well.
And this is a great opportunity for us to talk to you about Saido Berahino. I don't want us to always talk about Saido Berahino when you come in, but he's responded to what you had to say, which was, what, over a month ago now. You obviously were very opinionated, very honest, and you received a lot of credit for what you said, because it was quite refreshing to hear such an honest take on a player. But Berahino has sort of bitten back, if you like. I'll just read you some of the stuff that he had to say on your interview with us. He said, Glenn's got his own opinion. I actually want you to write this. I respect Glenn Johnson's career that he's already produced. That is his opinion. If that's how he felt about me, it's funny that he's coming out now on the radio, when the disappointing thing for me is I had so much respect for him. He says, I sat next to him in the changing room. There was never one time he called me aside and said about my behaviour or anything. He could have said something when I was going through a tough period at Stoke, but he says, if that's how he feels, then I can only respect his opinion, and I wish him all the best for what he is doing in his career now. So, you know, he's referred to the fact, you know, you sat next to him in the change room. You never said anything to him. Is that right? Did you not call him out on anything?
Well, I didn't have a one-on-one formal meeting with him, but in terms of comments and phrases to him, then yeah, of course I did say something.
Yeah.
But ultimately, to sit him down... Well, first of all, it's not my problem. I'm not the manager.
Yeah.
So I will say something to him as a lad and one of the boys. It's not going to be like a formal thing like, look, come and sit with me and have blah, blah, blah. That's not my job. If he does something wrong, I'll have a comment. It might not be the way he wants to understand it or whatever, but it's plain and simple that I would have definitely said stuff to him, but it isn't my problem ultimately. And to say that I'm doing it behind the radio is obviously madness, because, as you know, that morning, we didn't even know we were going to have that chat.
No.
So
that is true.
I got asked the question and I just responded and gave an honest answer.
Yeah.
I didn't wake up that morning even expecting to have that chat.
No, that's true enough.
Just going back to the dressing room, Dave, in terms of saying it's not your problem, in some respects, he's a teammate, and if he's not doing it on the pitch, I guess, you know, he might be not converting those chances that would obviously reflect better on you and every other player that was in the squad. So... whilst it might not have been you that had the word Did anybody else take it upon themselves to be that voice that isn't the manager's, that tried to help him to have a better attitude?
Yeah, and in training, that's when it happened most. So, to be honest, when we were training, I was one of the guys that were being very positive to him. So when he was making mistakes...
Is that what he needed, though?
Yeah, he seemed that sort of guy, yeah. Obviously, you know if you need to sort of scream and shout at someone or if you need an arm around them, whatever.
He needed love.
But not only that, it's just you try and be positive in every way when you're training. So when he was missing chances or miscontrolling the ball, you're trying to G him up and keep him going.
Mm.
Because in them moments, if you jump on him at that point, it's not going to help anyone. So from the lads, he had all the support during training. It's just afterwards when, and the stuff that I mentioned before, is where he'd let himself down.
Of course, rugby is all the news at the moment because the World Cup is well and truly underway. And Lawrence Dallaglio was on H&J talking about the World Cup, which is well and truly, yeah, on the way. Yeah, you get the idea.
Well, I think we find out about England and this World Cup. You know, there was a magnificent couple of games over the last weekend, wasn't there? Japan beating Ireland and Wales performing heroically, particularly in the, well, both halves against Australia. And England have sort of just done what they've had to do in this tournament so far. They've beaten Tonga, they've beaten the USA, but the competition starts to really ramp up. And I saw the Argentinian captain said, we're going to bring war on England. So he was trying to obviously stir things up, saying that we play boring rugby. So, we'll find out.
But do we play boring? Do we play boring rugby?
Well, so far we play winning rugby, don't we? And I think that's the key. And I think what we know is that the World Cup now for England starts to pick up intensity and levels, and England will have to produce, you know, not quite their best, but something close to it to see off Argentina. Then they go to they play France, and then so I think we'll know a lot more about, you know, England's chances after this game this Saturday.
We were talking about, you know, the England football squad's just been announced and how difficult it is to play a certain type of football against sort of minnows when you're qualifying, and then to play someone good. Is it the same, you know, for these players now? They've had a few easy games. How difficult is it to turn up and it'd be much more difficult?
I think it's a mindset. What you have to realise when you're a top-tier team and you're England is everyone saves their best game for you. So regardless of what you say about Tonga, they played their best against England, and the USA put their best against England. And when you see what's happened to, say, Ireland against Japan, and even Ireland today against Russia, France yesterday playing the USA, it kind of puts England's early performances into perspective. They've done quite well. They've got maximum points, 10 out of 10, no injuries. But now we'll start to see, I would like to see England step up another level, and I'm sure they will.
One thing you will find when you go there is a rugby boom in Japan. Apparently they've gone absolutely mad for the sport. Very interesting piece from Owen Slot saying, but can they capitalise on it? Because we had the same thing after the Olympics here. You know, everybody thought people would take up dressage and things like that, but they didn't.
Well, speak for yourself.
I arrived on horseback.
he was sashaying back and forth in the studio, weren't you?
Do you know what? I went to see the show jumping in Greenwich Village. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable gold medal. But I think the key is, yes, it is going bananas in Japan. I mean, you know, that they've hosted this World Cup in the most spectacular way, as we knew that they would, almost in a sort of polite way. You know, you want them to push more of the Japanese culture forward because they've been brilliant and their team have really come to the party. I mean, they could conceivably make the quarterfinals. And I think the key to what the answer in your question is, well, how easy is it to signpost people post-World Cup to go and join a rugby club in Japan? I can't answer that question, but you'd like to think that they'll capitalise on that.
And now for the moment you've all been waiting for. No, not a return of Jeff Brazier, but the best bits of the Sports Bar with me, Andy Goldstein, and old Moonface.
It's time for Statman. Now, Alex is on the phones tonight. So, Alex, you're the stat man. Stat man, Alex.
AZ Alkmaar are only the second team to keep Manchester United from a shot on target in this entire decade. The only other team being Barcelona
up there last season.
Please press 5 again.
No, don't press 5 again.
5.
Don't read it. Don't laugh at him in there.
Number 5.
The duty bound
no, number
to
1.
Five.
It's my show.
It's number 2, isn't it?
Number 1. Is it number 2? Number 2.
Ooh.
Go on, number 2.
Gabriel Martinelli's
five.
The young...
Right.
Stop! I'm going to, honestly, you
Manchester United failed to have a shot on target
in the Europa League game
for the first time in their history.
I know this one. Do number two, Preston. No, honestly, you're winding me up tonight. Number two.
Gabriel Martinelli is the youngest player ever to score two plus goals.
Don't press five.
European game for
Arsenal. Yeah, I'll blow it up to you in a minute. Number one, press number one.
One.
We need to edit this bit, by the way. Then. Let the whole blast go off.
Please let me hit five
again. No, don't press five again. Don't
five.
Manchester United failed to...
Don't read five! Just read one. Read one. honestly, I've had enough. Right, just read it.
Manchester United have failed to win any of their last 10 away matches.
Why is it United again?
Since Manchester United last won away from home, Villa have won 7 away games, Southampton and Wolves 5,
where's
Bournemouth,
Billy back?
Palace and
where's
Sheffield
back?
And West Ham 4, and even back? Newcastle have won
Get
3
out.
Away games.
Yeah, that was tonight's stat, man. Horrific.
5.
That's nearly it for another podcast. I told you at the top how good it was, and I think it's fair to say I did not lie to you. Anyway, before I let you go, let me remind you of some massive games coming up on Game Day on TalkSport.
Game Day!
See, they could get me to do that. It'd be far cheaper. In fact, just any money would be... Anyway, at 12:30 tomorrow, Saturday, Brighton against Spurs.
Game Day!
Yeah, OK, you can stop doing that. Also at the same time, don't know how this is going to work, Fulham against Charlton on TalkSport 2. Staying with TalkSport 2...
Game Day.
Yeah, okay, you've made your point. Burnley against Everton, and at 5:30,
Game Day.
Yeah. West Ham against Crystal Palace, and Laura Woods, Clive Tilsley, and Trevor Sinclair talk you through that one. That's it
for Game.
Yes, okay, I've got it. The podcast will, of course, return next week. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Oh, and don't forget to listen live to the Trans Europe Express, Andy Goldstein's one, on Sunday night from 9 p.m. In the meantime, have a lovely weekend. Be safe, everyone. Be safe. Sorry, I'm just recording the podcast. Jeff, he left hours ago.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.